Lord, we thank you that you're here. You're here to reveal yourself to us. Jesus, we want to see you in greater glory, to understand who you are and the depths of your love for us. So, Holy Spirit, come. Breathe on us now, as only you can do. Speak to us from your word. Breathe life in these scriptures to us. Roll back the darkness from our eyes, Lord. Roll back the scales that have blinded us. Open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, Lord, for greater understanding. We trust you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to begin. Let me say this. We've been talking about the seven redemptive names of God. I think we're on the fourth one today. One, two, three. Yeah. We've talked about, can you name one of them? Just pop it out. Jehovah Shalom, which means the Lord our peace. We also, there was a long name, started with a T. Jehovah Sit Canoe. It's like, just remember, I sit when I'm riding in the canoe. That's a good piece of advice. Okay, always sit down when you're riding in a canoe. Jehovah Sit in the canoe. Jehovah Sit Canoe, which means the Lord my righteousness. Okay, that's a long name in Hebrew. Sit Canoe means righteousness or justice, righteousness. We also learned last week, it was one of my favorite that we've done so far, Jehovah Jireh. And the word Jireh in the Hebrew is actually Ra'ah, which means God, I gave you a hint right there, pointing to my eyes. God sees, Jehovah sees. He's the one who sees. In other words, if you have a need, he sees that. And he's not just going to be one that sits back and goes, well, I'm going to look, wait and see how they figure it out on their own. Or I'm going to wait and see if they'll, you know, as the saying goes, you imagine God saying this, you know, God helps those who help themselves. No, God's not going to sit back and do that. God's going to be the one who sees and the one who provides. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Now this week we're going to, let me say this about it, because I just, you know, poverty is a real big deal in our society, believe it or not, even in America. Poverty is a mindset. And when we went over to Israel, there was a point in our tour in which we we drove into a zone that was all under Arab control. And the whole outlook, the whole surroundings, I turned to Terry and I said, man, there's like a poverty spirit in this place we were at. I don't remember, we were on our way to where we went on the camel ride. If you've seen the picture we showed you with us on a camel, we were on our way to near Jericho. But we were kind of in the desert, in the middle of nowhere. We had to do a little restroom stop right there, and it wasn't a pretty gas station. But we did what we had to do. But we were in an area that was like, man, this is like, it felt run down. And it's nothing against the Arab people. I'm just saying, you know, you could be any nationality and have a poverty mindset, but you could see it in just the surroundings. People junk in their front yard, cars broken down, rusted, you know, just junk and litter everywhere, and just a spirit. You could literally see it in the surroundings. You could see this spirit of poverty. So I am so against, because Terry and I have come out of such a history and an experience in our life, in our 30 years together, 34 years together, of encountering poverty, and in our own life, struggling against poverty. And God says, I'm Jehovah Jireh. I'm the God who sees. I'm the God who provides. And let me say this about this, because I love this subject. I could go back to last week's message and preach all over again. But he's the God who sees, and he's the God who provides. And I wrote this down. What you see, you can have. This is why it's so connected. The word provision, actually, the provision of God sometimes is just in the seeing. Just in the revelation. We shared with you last week how Hagar was in the desert. She thought she was going to die. And the Spirit of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, opened her eyes to see a well, a spring of water. And it saved her. So the water was there all the time. She just couldn't see it. Remember I said that last week? Those of you that were here? She saw the well, because all of a sudden God became to her Jehovah Jireh, her provider, her provision. And in the vision is the provision. So this is why it's so important to be in the Word of God, to be in this book. This book illumines your spiritual eyes, your faith eyes, to see what's been given to you. If you don't know you have it, you won't go after it.
That's right.
But if you can see it based on the promises of God, and I'm not talking about making up your own visions. You know, God wants me to be a quadrillionaire because I just think so. No, it's whatever's in here, the promise of God. If you can see it, you can have it.
Amen.
What you see, you can have in the Lord. And the Lord's shown us some things this year we're believing God for. And I'm telling you, this is a season of miracles, saints. Still time left for your miracle between now and December 31st. Whatever you're believing God for, if you've seen it in here with your faith eyes, you can have it.
Amen.
If you see it, you can have it.
Amen.
Because he is Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees, and he also reveals to us what is our provision. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, I could preach it all over again. Romans 8:32, we're not going to turn there, but I'm going to quote it to you. It's one of my favorite verses in the New Testament. He who spared not his only son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Listen, and we shared last week, it was a great message, if I do say so, because it didn't come from me, it came from the Holy Spirit. And he gave me lots of nuggets of revelation. It was like mining gold when I dug this stuff up. And we said that Mount Moriah, which means, it's a pop quiz, chosen by Jehovah, that's what Moriah means. Keith will see Mount Moriah when he goes there. He'll be up on the Temple Mount. He'll see Mount Moriah where Isaac was offered in sacrifice, where Solomon built the temple. And in a quirky little story in the Old Testament too, where David slew an ox and made an altar on a threshing floor. And there, it was the same site that Solomon built the temple. Same site where Isaac was offered.
Amen.
He who spared not his only son, but offered him up for us all. In other words, God said, if I'm going to give you my son, I'll give you everything. It's an explosion of provision. If he's given us Jesus, we have it all. Amen? If you need a boat, you'll get a boat. If you need a bus just to take people to church, God will give you a bus. If you need land to build an orphanage, God will give you land. Listen, the earth is the Lord's. He's just looking for people who will see what he wants them to see, the provision, and go after it. If you see it, you can have it. Well, I'm not going to re-preach last week's message. That was just a little hors d'oeuvre. Exodus 15. Today we're going to talk about Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. All right? Exodus 15. Let's begin reading in verse 22. Exodus 15. Now, the children of Israel have just come out of Egypt. And we'll begin in verse 22 of Exodus 15. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, verse 25, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. What would you imagine that piece of wood represents? The cross. It's Jesus. And that piece of wood, he threw it into the water. And what happened? The water became sweet, drinkable. There the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there he tested them. He said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God, do what is right in his eyes, pay attention to his commands, and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. I have no idea yet from the Holy Ghost what that means, but we're not focused on that verse. We're focused on the verse before. You know, the Bible has meaning in every verse. I'm telling you, there's something rich in that verse too, but we're not focused on that. Verse 26 is our key. God said, they're fresh out of Egypt. What does Egypt represent?
Bondage.
The world? Bondage? What else?
Poverty.
Egypt represents before we got saved. That was when we were lost. Pharaoh represents then the devil. Egypt was a place of bondage. It represents the world, the sin, and the control of Satan. That's what Egypt represented to God's people. And God brought them out of Egypt. He's now 3 days into the journey, and he takes them to this place. And there he says, the cross, boom, is thrown into the water. The water becomes sweet. And he says, by the way, first redemptive name he ever revealed in order. Now, I know I didn't preach it this order, okay, because my first one was Jehovah Shalom, because we were already on a series of peace. But the first redemptive name God gave his people in revealing himself to them, fresh out of Egypt, fresh out of the world, fresh out of being lost sinners, was Jehovah Rapha. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. Now, notice this. If you're taking notes, please write this down. The word Jehovah, in the descriptive definition of it, is like, I am the all-existing one. I'm the existent one. And it's saying there, and God starts off by saying, he says, I am, not I was, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, there's a great book that we've promoted here in our church, Christ the Healer. If you haven't read Christ the Healer or haven't started into it, please get a copy. We always keep extras on our book table. They're $5 a piece. If you don't have the $5, we do it on the honor system. Just grab the book, bring the five when you can. But take home Christ the Healer. It is a huge, huge arsenal of support to this idea that healing didn't pass when the apostles passed.
That's right.
Healing is for today, just like it was 2,000 years ago and beyond. God said to Israel way back in this story, I am, not I was, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And Jesus Christ, if you've got your finger there in Hebrews 13, we're going to read that verse. Most of you have it memorized. It's not very long. It's easy to memorize. Hebrews 13:8. Powerful, powerful word. You there? Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What does the name Jehovah mean? We revealed this to you when we started this series. There's four Hebrew letters there without vowels. Yud, He, Vav, He. Yud meaning the open hand. Because all Hebrew letters correspond. There's a pictograph that corresponds to the Hebrew letters in their alphabet. And also a number. Did you know that? Their alphabets, I mean, it's got deep, deep meaning. You got to understand. God created the Hebrew people. He created the Hebrew language. And Yud means the open hand. He is a letter in the Hebrew language that has to do with a window. Or it's the idea of someone looking out a window and going, ah, like they're beholding something. They're stunned at a spectacular view. Modern scholars define it as the idea of grace. It's the ha, the inspirational breath of God, that like a light bulb going off in your head. There's many meanings of that window, but most scholars agree it has to do with grace. And I'll get into that more in a moment. So we have yud, he, vav, which is the picture of a nail, and then he again. See the in a literal translation, it could say, see the hand, see the nail.
Amen.
So the name Jehovah, don't get lost here, follow me. The name Jehovah clearly means see the hand, see the nail, or the hand of grace and the nail of grace. Who is that?
Jesus,
who we just read about in Hebrews 13:8, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he was Jehovah, Jesus, Rapha, back then, I am the Lord that healeth thee. If he was the Lord that healed them back then, he is the Lord who heals us today. Amen? So we have to take him as our healer today. Jesus, what Jesus died for then is still in effect now. We believe in other words, it's this idea of complete redemption.
Right.
Complete redemption. What do I mean by complete? Spirit, soul, and body. Man is a three-part being. You're not just a glob of continuum. You are a three separate part being. When you accepted Jesus as your Lord, your spirit came alive. That was your spirit. Your mind and your soul and your emotions are all tied. Your mind, will, and emotions are all tied into the soulish part of you. That's the part that's being renewed through the Word of God. And then your body is being healed, just like the Israelites came out of Egypt. Now imagine 400 years of bondage. Imagine the disease and the. I wrote down a list here, as complete as I could get it. Some of the things that they might have been struggling with after 400 years of. Slavery, bondage, building pyramids. You know those wonderful pyramids that people, non-Christian people just as a tourist site, they'll go say, I'm going to Egypt to look at the pyramids. Well, guess what? Those pyramids were built on the sweat and the blood of these people here that we're reading about in Exodus 15. They were built on them of 400 years of bondage. And here's just a few of the things that the Lord could have healed them from, potentially. Skin cancer.
Yes.
How about it? No copper tone back then. All right. They spent day in and day out building the pyramids for Pharaoh, for this brutal dictator. Skin cancer, joint pain. Okay, you ever done a hard day's worth of labor and you come in, you go, oh, I didn't know I had that muscle. Or I didn't know I had that joint. You know, it's like everything your body's talking. Joint pain, feet issues. Okay, they didn't build the pyramids wearing Nikes.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Bad backs. Ever done some heavy lifting? Too much weight? Well, those taskmasters weren't giving them a break. They weren't saying, oh, okay, 50 pounds is enough for you. You got light duty today. No, it was heavy stones. It was heavy lifting. Bad backs, all right? Injuries of all kinds. There's no workman's comp in Egypt. Hello? All right? No workman's comp. So if they got injured, they just got injured. They lost a toe, they just lost a toe. You keep working. They had all kinds of injuries. And the Bible says in Psalm 105:37, we won't turn there. No, we will turn there. It's just so good. Psalm 105:37. Look at what it describes as God brought them out of Egypt. It's a beautiful picture. It's almost like as they're walking out the doorway, on the other side of the doorway, oh, God's just pouring on them all this goodness. Look at Psalm 105:37. He brought them forth also with what?
Silver
and gold. Hallelujah. God prospered them. He brought them from poverty and owning nothing but the shirt on their back and the loincloth on their body to owning silver and gold. It was given to them, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Not one. Why? Because God revealed himself at Marah as the Lord who healeth thee. I am Jehovah. Open hand. See the nail. The Lord that heals you. Amen. Beautiful picture. Isn't that good? Psalm 105:37. Wonderful verse. And you know, that's a promise for us. We came out of the world. You know, no matter where you were financially, when you come into the kingdom, God lays on you silver and gold. In other words, he brings you out of poverty and lack into his kingdom abundance. How many of you know heaven's not broke?
Amen.
Heaven's not broke.
Yes.
In case you didn't know. There's no recession there. There's no setbacks. Heaven is fully supplied 24/7. And God brought his people out with silver and gold. He brings you and I out of the world, out of bondage, into the riches of his kingdom. And there's not one feeble one among us, amen, because we receive Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals us. Listen, I wrote this down. This is very important to understand. In the atonement, in what Jesus suffered on the cross, it was not necessary during those times for a Roman soldier to scourge a man before he was crucified. You understand crucifixion alone would kill a man?
Yes.
It's good enough. It was a slow death, an agonizing death. Jesus hung on the cross how many hours? 6 hours. Man was created on the sixth day. It's a lot of significance to numbers in God's book. Jesus hung there 6 hours. It was an agonizing slow death. And let me assure you, it always worked. And in case they ran short on time, the soldiers would run up and what? They would whack their knees so that their legs gave out. They could no longer use their legs to push up on that nail, which would have created agonizing pain, and take another breath. Once their knees were given out, they couldn't take any more breaths. They were just hanging by their arms. And so that's what happened. If you've seen the movie The Passion of the Christ, or the other one, Risen, you know, as the Romans are getting impatient, and the storms are brewing, and Jesus is hanging there, and the other criminals, what do? They start breaking their knees, but they didn't break one bone in Jesus to fulfill scripture, but they pierced his side, but he was already dead. The water and the blood flowed. The piercing didn't kill him. He had given up his spirit. So the scourging was not necessary to kill a man. It wasn't even normally a part of a crucifixion, as we understand it. In fact, it says in Luke 23:20, if you're taking notes, 23:20, Pilate hoped to release Jesus. And this is really portrayed in Mel Gibson's version of the movie. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you to watch it. And they actually show when the guys got done whipping Jesus, the one commander comes to the fortress there, and he's shocked. He did not expect them to whip him that much. And he said, I didn't want you to kill him, whip him to death. You know, you're just supposed to scourge him. And actually, that's artistic license. If you study it in the Gospels, it's kind of a little bit backwards, because they actually sent him to be scourged after Pilate condemned him. But nonetheless, Pilate was hoping to release Jesus. The point being this, the scourging was not necessary for Jesus to die, but it was necessary for our healing.
Yes.
Everything that happened to Jesus in his death was for a purpose. The scourging was not incidental. It was intentional. And Isaiah declared later, he said, by his stripes you would be healed. That talked specifically about our bodies. That's not just spiritual healing. By his stripes you would be healed. We're going to get into that more in just a moment. But he took it so we don't have to take it. Amen? Jesus took the stripes and the sicknesses so we don't have to bear them. Look at Proverbs 20:30. Now we're getting some good little nuggets here. Proverbs 20:30. This is really good. Interesting verse at the end of Proverbs 20. Blows and wounds cleanse away evil, and beatings purge the inmost being. Isn't that an interesting verse? Blows and wounds cleanse away evil, and beatings purge the inmost being. In other words, spankings work. You want to correct a person, you hit them hard enough, you can... I'm not advocating that with kids now. I'm just saying, that's what the Bible says. This is not for children. This is something different. But listen to it in the this is in the Message translation. A good thrashing purges evil, punishment goes deep within us. So it's no coincidence that the soldiers whipped Jesus. What were they doing? They were, in a sense, purging away our sicknesses. That's what was happening. That's why I say it wasn't. They were going to kill him at the cross anyways. The whipping, you could say, well, that was extra. No, it was intentional. It was for your sickness. His beatings purged away your sickness. We need to see it that way. His whippings purged and cleansed my illness. Amen? That his whippings brought healing to me. So in the atonement, we see that salvation encompasses dealing not only with sin, but the effects of sin. Wednesday night we talked about this in Romans 5:12. It says, sin entered the world through one man, Adam. This is Romans 5, verse 12. If you're taking notes, you can go back and read it. Sin entered the world through the one man, and death through sin. Okay? Where did sickness come from? Was there any sickness in the garden before there was sin? No. Before there was sin, there was no sickness. There was no death. Sickness and death entered because of sin. Jesus came to set us free from sin. Why would he not set us free from the fruits of sin, which are sickness and death?
Amen.
Why not? It doesn't make sense. So if you meet a Christian who says, well, I believe in forgiveness, but I don't believe in healing, it's illogical. Where does sickness come from? If Jesus forgives us of our sins, he is in effect dealing with the root. Why not deal with the fruit?
That's
the
right.
Fruit is sickness. The root is sin. Amen? Sin brought death. Sin brought sickness. Therefore, by dealing with sin, Jesus effectively dealt with sickness. Amen?
Amen.
And again, Christ the Healer will reiterate that for you. If you'll get that book, it'll just give you so much to counter that silly argument about healing passing away with the apostles. Ridiculous. Isaiah 53. Turn there with me. Isaiah 53. So Jesus' wounds, the blows that he took, were to purge away our sickness. Amen? You need to see that. When symptoms come on your body, you need to take that as your promise. You need to take that as a reality. Jesus has already borne in his body what I'm feeling now.
Amen.
You got a pain. You got an ache. You got an inflammation. You know, I made a list of all the sicknesses that come as a result of the curse. I read one time Deuteronomy 28 here. It didn't go over so well.
Yeah.
Deuteronomy talks about the curses. It'll put you in a down mood real quick. But I want to just share with you real quick. These are the sicknesses that are legally placed upon humanity through sin. Consumption, fever, inflammation, extreme burning, botch of Egypt, hemorrhoids, which is hemorrhoids, scab, itch, madness, blindness, smitten knees and legs, boils, leprosy, and plagues of all kinds. I'll stop there. See, I read it fast so we could get on past it, get back to the good news. Listen, sin opens the door to all kinds of disease. And in fact, in Deuteronomy 28 at the end, it says, and every plague and disease not written herein. In other words, if there's a disease that comes on a person who's a believer, and the doctors say, they're scratching their heads going, we don't even have a name for this disease. You can go, ah, Jesus set me free from that one too. The one you don't have a name for. Deuteronomy 28. He set me free from the curse of the law. Therefore, he set me free from even unnamed yet diseases. Hallelujah. Amen. He is the Lord that heals me. Now, there's some good news. Isaiah 53:4. Look at Isaiah 53:4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That was a horrible translation. I'm sorry. I love King James, Jimmy. But this was a horrible translation. The writers, when they translated this verse and they put it in the King James, it was just beyond them to go as far as saying what it really says. If you look at the Young's literal translation, it literally means he bore our sicknesses. That word griefs there in the King James should have been translated sicknesses. Now in NIV it's translated infirmities, which, okay, we'll take that. But when you just say sickness, that just makes it that much more clear. Amen? He hath surely borne our sicknesses and carried our sorrows. The word sorrows there in the Hebrew language is literally pain. I hope you'll write that in your Bible. If you're looking at King James, if you're a King James purist, I honor you. I grew up on the King James, cut my teeth on it, loved the King James, memorized the King James. But there were some times when the translation just wasn't as good as it should have been. And that's not to declare the inerrancy of Scripture is wrong. It's just to say that the translators took some artistic license the wrong way. Okay? You with me?
Yeah.
The original language was divinely inspired. We believe that.
Amen.
The translation, things can get mixed in translation. Do you agree?
Amen.
Yes, that's true. So that's all I'm saying here. Isaiah 53:4 should read, "Surely he bore our sicknesses. Surely he carried our pain." I love that. I love that. Because if he took your pain, you don't have to take it.
Amen.
You ever heard that phrase? I don't have to take this anymore. You know, someone gets fed up, what do they say? I don't have to take it anymore.
Amen.
Right? That's the attitude you ought to have towards sickness. I don't have to take it anymore. Why? Because he took it. Jesus took it. Who's Jesus? Jehovah. In the Old Testament he was called Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. See the hand, see the nail. He took it, he bore it, he paid for it.
Amen.
That rhymes even. Isaiah 53:4, he took it. Why? Because he is the Lord who healeth thee.
Yes.
That's what he does. In case you didn't know it, Jesus is a great physician.
Amen.
In fact, I want to encourage you this way. To change our mindset. We tend to think, oh, well, I'll pray when I go to the hospital. I'll pray when I go to the doctor that the Lord will help the doctor. No, the doctor's not helping God. God is helping him as the intern.
Yes.
We need to see our natural doctors, our natural physicians as the interns under the great physician.
Yes.
He is the great physician. Nothing wrong with using the interns, all right? The humanity. I'll go to the doctor any day if he's got something that can help me. But ultimately, I'm under the direction of and the care of Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth me, the great physician. Amen? And so everybody else in my book is an intern. They can be used as an instrument in the hand of God. They are not the hand of God to heal me. They are simply an instrument, an intern, if you will, to the great physician. Hallelujah. Amen, if you agree with that.
Amen.
He is the Lord who heals us. Again, I want to point out, this is the first redemptive name. The first redemptive name that God reveals himself to his people as. Why? Because when you and I come out of the world, listen, you spend a lifetime serving the devil. You spend a lifetime, hopefully not a lifetime, but you know, a couple of years, even if you're, you know, a teenager or older, before you find Jesus, you've already spent some time in his kingdom, the realm of darkness, okay? You know, we've got all kinds of things that can tear up the human body, all kinds of addictions, drugs, alcohol, you name it. These things can ravage the human physical body. And so when you get saved, when you come out of Egypt, the Lord looks at you and says, "Greetings, I'm the Lord who heals you." Amen. Even if you brought it on yourself through careless lifestyle, listen, Jesus is merciful. Jesus is gracious. He is the Lord who heals us. Amen. Even when we do stupid stuff, and when you come out of the world, listen, you've done plenty of stupid, right? But he is the Lord. He forgives all our sins, Psalm 103. He heals all our diseases, even the things we brought on ourselves, because he is Jehovah Rapha. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I have a slide I want Alan to bring up on the screen here. I'm going to show you a little bit of interesting stuff in the Hebrew language as we wind this down. The word, when he says, "I'm the Lord that healeth," okay, that word in the King James there, the healeth, okay, these are the three letters in the Hebrew language that make up the word healeth. And this is the word Rapha, okay, that's why we say he is Jehovah Rapha. Now, these letters in the Hebrew language, like the Chinese language, they read right to left, okay? So Ra, that far right letter, is actually the R in the Hebrew language. And the name of the letter is called the Resh, R-E-S-H, if you're taking notes, Resh. That far right letter is called Resh. The middle letter is a kind of an odd shape, and it's called Pei, P-E-I, P-E-I, okay? And the far left letter is called the Aleph, A-L-E-P-H, Aleph. And there's a great teaching out, I'll probably share it one day, called the Aleph Tav. It's about the signature of Jesus all through the Old Testament. But let me explain what these letters mean. Because remember I said earlier in the Hebrew language that their letters and their alphabet actually have a number associated with them and a pictorial, a picture associated with them. So the far right letter, the Resh, is a picture of a man's head. It's supposed to be like a side profile of a man's head. Kind of looks like a Ken hairdo, right, from the 70s. You got the man's head. The middle letter is the word, the letter Pei, and it's associated with a man's mouth. You can see the nose right here, right? There's his nose. Open mouth. It's an open mouth. The far left letter is the picture of the sacrificial ox. It represents, you can kind of picture an ox yoking, right? The yoke that's on the ox, kind of that odd shape with the yoke. That's a picture of the sacrificial ox. Now, I didn't make this up. This is tied to the Hebrew language. You can look it up on the internet. It's all just straight out. a man's head, a man's mouth speaking, and the sacrificial ox. What does that speak to you and I about the word healeth? When God says, I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. Let me say this. Healing and health in the Lord will manifest as we think on the head and as we speak of the mouth, the sacrificial ox. Who's that? Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus. Healing manifests in our life when we think on and when we speak of the sacrificial ox, who is Jesus. Amen. Can you see how the Lord, even in the letters of his own language, the Hebrew language, he reveals himself constantly. And listen, if you're into numbers, if you're a mathematician, oh my goodness, it gets, you just type in on Google, why is the number five, why does five relate to grace in the Bible? And you'll get lost. There's websites all on there. It's amazing. 1 Kings 8:63. Solomon was dedicating the temple and he sacrificed 22,000 ox in dedicating oxen. 22,000 oxen were sacrificed in the temple in its original dedication. Okay, so the ox is very valued as a I think it was the peace offering it was tied to. But the word healeth means what you think on, what you speak should be the sacrifice of Jesus. This is the way, the doorway into healing, if you will, is what you meditate on, what you declare with your mouth, is the sacrifice of Jesus. He bore my stripes, Isaiah 53:4. He himself carried my sickness. He himself bore my pain. Now the next slide shows the root word from which we get Rapha, and this is a very similar word. It's Rapha'ah with an A-H on the end, okay? And it's got a little, you can see the letter configuration is a little different. We have the resh on the far right. We have the pay in the middle. Again, the picture of the head, picture of the mouth. But the letter on the far left is that picture of the window. It's the letter hey, H-E-I in the Hebrew language. H-E-I is the hey. Remember when Abraham was blessed by God, he said, I'm going to change your name. And what did he add to his name? Ha, Abraham. He added an H to his name. It represented the breath of God, the grace of God. Now, interestingly enough, the letter He is the fifth letter in the Hebrew language. Numerically, it's the fifth letter. The number five represents the idea of grace. Jesus took five loaves and fed 5,000. The fifth time, these are just a few of the ways that the number five relates to grace. It's so powerful. There's just oodles of them. The fifth time that Noah's name was mentioned in the Bible, it says of Noah, he found grace or favor in the eyes of the Lord. The fifth mention of Noah's name. Joseph, when he was revealing himself to his brothers, when he had him for dinner, he was there in Egypt, and he hadn't quite told him who he was yet, but he had him sit down to dinner. It says he gave Benjamin five times as much food, and he also gave him five times as much clothing. The word Noah, by the way, when they said Noah found grace, the word Noah means rest. His name means rest. Interestingly enough, the word Rapha means to sink down or to relax. So in God's scheme of things, as God views healing, what is a very important part of you and I receiving our healing? Rest. Relax. Rapha. It's kind of that idea of a sigh. Ah, you ever sat down in your comfy chair, your comfy couch at the end of a long day? I did the other day. I got home from work and we were talking and it was just like, ah, this just feels so good. Listen, when you relax, when you rest in the provision of God, his grace, you are open to receiving healing. The worst thing you and I can do, and they'll tell you this in most any situation related to a scene of panic. You know, if there's somebody that's drowning, what's the worst thing they can do, the drowning person? Flail about in panic, right? What's the thing the lifeguard waits to do before he even gets close to him to rescue him? Either they get exhausted and faint, or he hits them on the head with something, they go under. Why? Because until they rest, they can't be rescued. And let me tell you something. This is a key to us, saints, and walking in healing. The minute symptoms appear in our body, the human mind goes into alarm mode. Alarm mode. Your mind wants to panic. Oh my gosh, this could be this, or it could be that, or it could be fatal, or it could be this. Listen, the worst thing you could do at that moment is to panic. The first thing you ought to do is go back to the root of healing, as the Hebrew language reveals here, and relax. Why? Because he is Jehovah Rapha.
Amen.
The God that healeth thee. You should spend your energy mentally, your energy vocally, focused on the sacrificial ox, Jesus. and you'll enter into healing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He is Jehovah Rapha. Each redemptive name that God reveals to us reveals this idea as well. It's paid for by Jesus. When we talk about Jehovah Shalom, it's paid for. Your peace was paid for by Jesus. When we talk about Jehovah Sitkanu, what we learned last week in studying Abraham, Abraham was about to sacrifice Isaac, and instead God provided a ram in the thicket. And he said, Jehovah is the God who sees, Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. God sees, God provides, God pays for your provision, God pays for your peace, God pays for your righteousness. Amen? We don't earn it in this life, do we? We respond to it in faith, but we did not earn our righteousness because he is the Lord, our righteousness. And in this name that we're learning today, Jehovah Rapha, he is the Lord who's paid for our healing through the sacrifice.
Amen.
Through the sacrifice. Amen? He is good. See the hand, see the nail. Jehovah, that's what the name Jehovah means. Don't be afraid of Jehovah. I know the Jehovah Witness have hijacked the name. That's our name.
That's right.
Did you hear me?
Yes.
That's our name.
Amen.
It's Jesus. It's Jesus revealed in the Old Testament. Don't let anybody else hijack the name. He is Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Scholars agree there's really, I mean, we're in Texas. We pronounce it our way as Jehovah. That's the Latin interpreted translation. But ultimately, it's what those Hebrew letters mean. The hand of grace, the nail of grace, he is Jesus. Amen? Amen. Well, I just want to conclude today by, why don't you stand with me? And, you know, faith can arise. Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. If you've heard this today and this has reached down and touched your faith, I want you to reach out with your faith in this moment and receive. If you need healing in your body, maybe you didn't come up earlier, but you've got an issue coming on. Something coming on in your body, something going on symptom-wise, and you need a healing touch from the Lord. Listen, I just heard a testimony this morning. I was waking up, and I flipped to the CBN News website, saw a testimony of a man who was healed of a brain tumor, terminal-type cancerous brain tumor, was going to go in for surgery, was scheduled for surgery. A day or two before he went into surgery, the doctors canceled the surgery. Why? Because the tumor had disappeared.
Amen.
The great physician had been at work. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jehovah Rapha, the one who says, relax, I got this, I've provided for this, I've borne your sickness, I've borne your pain. He healed the man. He's a man in California, so see, God heals California still. He's not against me. A little flaky, a little, no, they're good folks. Now, God healed this man. He gave all the credit to the Lord, and God is here to heal us today as well. Amen. Raise your hands, just receive right now. Jesus, we thank you that you're healing us, spirit, soul, and body, for you are the Lord that heals us. You are Jehovah Rapha, the God of our healing, the God of that we think about. We think about your sacrifice, we speak of it, and we thank you, Lord, that you have borne our sickness, you have carried our pains, so we don't have to take it anymore. And Lord, we give it to you. We just release it to you. Just release it. Come on, let the Rapha, the sigh of release, the sigh of relaxing in the promises of God. Let it overwhelm you today. Let the peace of God take hold of your heart, and the rest and the grace and the healing of Jesus manifest in your body as you simply believe, as you simply receive him who is Jehovah Rapha. We bless you, Jesus, our healer. Just receive it in your body right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for bearing our pains, taking our diseases, everything that would afflict our bodies. You bore it already, so we don't have to.
Amen.
And we receive it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I want to give you the opportunity to receive him with our heads still bowed for just a moment. So anybody here that wants to be born again, you say, Scott, I've come into church today, but I don't know Jesus. I want to receive him as my Lord and Savior. I want to make him Lord of my life. Or you say, I've been out of fellowship and I'm coming back to Jesus today. This is my day to return to fellowship with the Lord. If that's you, raise your hand real high. We're going to pray a prayer together. I'm not going to embarrass you, but we are going to pray together and give you that opportunity. Anybody at all? Okay. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to encourage you, saints, as you go forth this week, speak these names, these redemptive names, as you're learning of them. Listen, it's meant to enhance, not replace, what you already understand of Jesus. Amen? We understand that Jehovah is the old covenant name, but he hasn't changed. That name is still powerful and significant as it relates to our Savior Jesus. His name, we call him Jesus. That's the name the Father gave him. But in the Old Testament revealed, it's so many wonders of like a gem that's turning, and you see the different facets. He is Jehovah Shalom. Speak that during the week. When you come into a tense situation, speak, Lord, you're Jehovah Shalom. Just declare it to him. Speak your faith forth. And let it consume your mind so that panic is pushed out. When you start to feel that you haven't quite met the grade, so to say, in God's eyes, say, Jehovah Sikkenu, you are my righteousness. Jesus, you fulfilled it. You paid for my righteousness. You earned it before the Father. I don't have to earn it through my efforts. You are Jehovah Rapha. Speak these names to him and let him become what he is in these declarations. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you as you go. We'll see you next week. And come join us Wednesday night if you're free. We'll give thanks to the Lord.